and welcome to Nebraska Prep Zone Report, a podcast for your ears from the World Herald. I'm your host, Jake Anderson, and joining me as always is World Herald Prep Recruiting Specialist, Mike Sauter. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm good. I'm very good. It's game week.
Week one. You know, it's back. We made it.
Zero or one or whatever they want to call it. But yes, we made it. It's time to actually play games. There's been so many previews of stuff and whatever. You know, next week there'll be a bunch of overreactions on, well, actually Friday night, on who won and lost and all that. And, you know, maybe rightfully so overreactions, probably not. Probably a little too much on the overreaction thing.
So I know to stay away from your Twitter feed.
No, it won't be for me.
All right, let's get right into it here. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games to watch that we're going to hit. And then we're going to do a new segment this year, Prospect Watch. A little bit of overlap on some of those, but we'll make it a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So let's get right into it here. With the game of the week, the people voted. Omaha yeah. North at Omaha Creighton Prep.
Yeah, North at Prep is won the Pinnacle Bank game of the week, and fans voted that one. That's the game I'll be at. I'll be doing some, you know, halftime pregame conversations with coaches and other people, and just kind of go full on, you know, coverage for it. So should be a good game. Both teams like to run the ball. Are gonna really run the ball, I think, or try to run the ball. Mason Armstead's going to have to make some plays. AJ Collins is another player that I like that's going to play some receiver and defensive back and maybe some running back for Prep. Those two are going to have to make plays because North's back 7-8, I guess, is pretty salty. I mean, they have athletes everywhere and led by Marquise Siegel. And you have Trent Fairgood-Jones and Avion Barnes and Keyshawn Williams moving from corner to outside linebacker is another piece that's really good. So questions on both lines, I think. Health, one, for North and just how much depth is truly there. And, you know, Prep lost some star linemen last year and filling those gaps with a multitude of guys. I think they have a lot of depth there. But there's still questions for them.
All right. Grand Island at Kearney.
Yeah, obviously a huge rivalry game. Both teams, I'm not sure there's a lot of love lost there. but both teams are very well coached. Coach Tomlin at Grand Island, Coach Cool at Kearney. Funny story, Coach Cool was my JV football coach when I was a sophomore in high school at Sutherland, Nebraska.
That was, what, 40 years ago?
No, not that long. But anyway, I've known him for a long time. He does a tremendous job, and it should be a close game. Obviously, both teams lost a lot. Both teams lost really good quarterbacks in Miller and Evans. But you do have you know, Brock Douglas is a guy that just makes plays at the wide receiver position for Grand Island. And then Caleb Frangel is another player that I really like at linebacker / running back, kind of plays a lot. Grand Island lost a lot of their line from last year's runner-up team, and that'll be a challenge. Kearney, on the other hand, everyone kind of knows the name Miko Mazner by now, mm-hmm. speedster and all that. It should be a really good game. I was kind of hoping maybe that one would be the Pinnacle Bank game of the week, but it didn't win, so should be a tough one.
All right, our next game here, I want to hold this one for Prospect Watch.
Sure.
And roll that in there. It's Burkett Lincoln Southeast, so I'm not hiding it.
Thursday night opener.
Yeah, it's a good kickoff here. So let's jump to Class B, Seward at Waverly.
Another one where both teams kind of lost a lot, but it's a rivalry game, solid Class B matchup. Both teams lost a lot, but then they kind of return a lot. I know Waverly has Trevor Brown. The lines are have two kind of stars, and Lenz for Seward and Brown, the sophomore, for Waverly. So I threw that one in there because it's kind of that rivalry kind of location, good kind of solid Class B matchup.
And both of those teams were pretty consistently top four last year.
Yeah.
So how do they
replace a lot and replace a lot too? Yeah.
Next one, Norris at Beatrice.
Yeah. Another kind of rivalry game. It's close, like right south of Lincoln there. Both teams, you know, not it should be competitive. It hasn't been so much. You would think that it needs to be pretty competitive, I'm guessing. So, or figures to be competitive. New coach at Norris. You have Ashton Hausman, who's a walk-on commit to Nebraska, speedster, track guy, big, tough runner, big, tough, strong runner. So Norris is going to open it up a lot. So that'll be an interesting kind of new wrinkle or new offense, totally new offense for them, which should help. Aiden Otter is another really nice player for Norris too. So again, went with that one because of the rivalry thing.
Yeah. Theme of the week, no love lost.
Right.
Our next one here, we've talked about before, but let's get the pre-week one preview of it. Bennington at Omaha Scott. Omaha Scott, we've mentioned it every time we've brought up Scott before, the Skyhawks, and we're going to say it again, they're the favorite in Class B. What can Bennington do to win this?
Bennington has a lot of young skill guys. They're going to have to be really good up front. I guess they have a couple good linemen too. They're going to have to be really good up front against an experienced line led by Blake Anderson from Scott. Also, Scott has Tyson Gordon, one of the best players and best athletes in the state. He is legitimately probably not going to come off the field at all the entire game. Punt, kick, kickoff. He's going to be their kicker, their punter, kickoff specialist, quarterback, and safety. So that's everything. But he can handle it. And he really can kick field goals. When I went to their practice, I was like, holy cow, this dude's making 40-yard field goals out here. Like, it's nothing. I'm like, when did you learn how to kick? So
and kicking field goals isn't easy.
No.
No.
And he's drilling them from 40. I mean, easy. And I was like, and there wasn't a ton of wind. So it's pretty impressive. But, you know, he'll be making plays all over, I think. And Bennington is just kind of, can they make that next step? They've always kind of had you know, talent, I guess, specifically at the skill positions. Can they make that next step and keep it close enough to maybe kind of win it? It'd be a pretty big upset in week one, but can they do that? It will remains to be seen on Friday night.
And our next one here, Aurora at Adams Central, and I want to take a minute here, pour one out for the loss of Baylor Shireman doing Baylor Shireman things. What can we expect, though, from Aurora this year? They obviously have to replace Shireman. How are they planning on doing that?
Yeah, but Trevor Dorek is replacing Baylor. He's not Baylor. He's probably the best quarterback ever to go through there, obviously. But
yeah.
But he's replacing him. It would be fine. This one's super intriguing because Aurora's are defending champion. They lose their quarterback and lose some other guys. And it's kind of like, okay, now Adams Central has a very good quarterback running back combination in Evan Johnson and Gabe Conant. What you look for there is like, okay, the new quarterback versus the experienced up-and-coming kind of team that everyone expects to give them a run. But they also have Caleb Morrill at Aurora, who's a really good running back that comes back for his senior season. And then Nate Borkacher is another guy at Aurora that can catch passes as a tight end and a big, strong kid and plays really good outside linebacker. So you have some – Aurora's line is good too. And you have some intriguing matchups there. I think Stu ranked them 2-4 or 1-4 or something like that in C1. So it's obviously a top five matchup to start the year and probably one of the better games on the slate, I guess, in week one.
Good early test here.
Right.
And our next one will be another good early test, Wahoo Newman at Boys Town.
You never know really what you're going to get with Boys Town with their roster and all that stuff. They kind of dipped a little bit last year, but last couple years have been really good. So we'll see. Coach Nizzy, again, good job, good coach, and came over from prep a couple years ago and does a good job of Boys Town. Newman breaking in a new coach for new head coach for the first time in 30 years or whatever it is. So we'll see. And there isn't a Vedral anymore. Be a starter. There's more coming, but there isn't one that, you know, a star like they've had. So a lot of new faces and changes and things. Another kind of just that neat kind of first week matchup. They, for some reason, they always play the first week, and it's been that way for a while. So just kind of put that in there. And playing at the Corral is always hard to do.
Yeah. All right, our last one here, Pierce at Norfolk Catholic.
Yeah, again, huge rivalry game. C1, C2 matchup. Pierce probably should have been in Lincoln last year and playing for a state championship. Got upset. A lot of people think they should have anyway. Norfolk Catholic made it and was upset, I guess, in the championship game by Centennial. So a lot of new faces for Norfolk Catholic, but mm-hmm. Can the tradition and all that, you know, winning and
they've got the system in place.
Yeah, it's all of that's there. So for them and Pierce, again, this is a huge rivalry game, and I expect Pierce to have a pretty solid game, I guess, and really good year. They return a ton, and you would expect them to be one of the favorites to win. To win it all and at least make it to Lincoln and win it all again this year, like they kind of always are, I guess.
All right. Before we get to our prospect watch here, let's take a minute and thank our sponsor, Look Architectural Coatings. They specialize in commercial wall and glass graphics. So you walk into a building, you see those big glass panes with a nice, clean, neat lettering on it. Look Architectural Coatings.
Or like
coatings.
Different, like, you know, there could be different like mountains and clouds and all kinds of stuff, whatever you see on windows. So they do those things.
All right. And Prospect Watch, this was my idea here, so I want to go over it a little bit. Each week, we're going to break down the top five prospects in 2020 and 2021. We'll give their previous week stats, who they're playing this week. Sauter will give any recruiting notes for uncommitted players. Most of the top five for 2020 have committed. Mm-hmm. So we'll kind of look at it that way. And then I also kind of figured maybe give like a scouting of what each player kind of has against who they're playing that mm-hmm. week.
Perfect.
So number one, Xavier Watts, Omaha Burke, going against Lincoln Southeast.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to me to Matt to see if Lincoln Southeast moves Watts around. I guess vice versa. Mm-hmm. If Lincoln Southeast moves Gifford around to kind of be on the side with Watts. Two kind of star matchups, star players on each team and leaders and all of that. Captains and everything. That'll be the intriguing kind of matchup within the matchup. Does, you know, whatever side he's on, does he go with him? Not going to play corner against him, I would imagine, but kind of just as that kind of rover safety.
Shadow over the
yeah,
top.
Yeah. And kind of how does Burke play Watts and how much does he need to play at safety? I think Southeast mm-hmm. is going to run the ball and try and run the ball behind that much improved and big offensive line.
Yep.
I think they're just going to try and pound Gifford and Halen behind that line and not really rely on a passing game too much. So that'll be another thing that'll be kind of interesting there. But Watts is – you know, for me, the best player in the state, and Gifford's right there too. And so if those two kind of go at it a little bit, that'd be fun. But that's kind of the matchup, I guess.
I'm sure we'll see him involved in a few collisions. And Isaac Gifford, obviously your number four player. Mm-hmm. So we knocked out one and four. Let's do two and three. Xavier Betts, wide receiver from Bellevue West, and Jay Ducker, running back, also from Bellevue West, going against Lincoln High.
Yeah, Lincoln High is in a rebuilding mode. I think Bellevue West probably comes in and does what they want. I'm not sure those two honestly are going to play a ton in that game, but when they do, they'll put up pretty big numbers. And I don't see there's a way that Lincoln High can win that game. And I love Coach Mack. He's great. Yeah. But it's just kind of, you know, they're totally rebuilding from, and they look totally different than what they did last year and the year before and the year before and the year before. So I expect both those two to have huge, huge games.
And number five on the list, lineman Cole Herbelsheimer from mm-hmm. Millard South. Patriots this week facing Gretna.
Yeah, so Herbelsheimer is, he's going to have to be key. Gretna's going to be physical and try and run the ball. But he does have some help on the line. You know, he's another one of those kids that, like, is he an interior lineman at the collegiate level, or is he a defensive tackle at the collegiate level? Which one kind of does he fit, or where is he? Mm-hmm. For me, I think the kid's fantastic. The problem is he's only 6'2". Yep. If he was 6'4", he'd probably have Power 5 offers, no-brainer, as far as I think that's concerned, and one of the better high school football players in the state easily. I think he'll have a tough matchup, and he's going to play both ways-ish, probably not full-time on offense and rotate in on defensive line. Mm-hmm. And it should be a pretty good game. Everyone probably expects Herbolsheimer or Millard South to run away with it. I don't know. I mean, Gretna's pretty good, and last year they were pretty good. The quirky thing here is Gretna had lost the home game because their field wasn't ready, and they had to move this game to Millard, so it's like, what?
Yeah. A lot of shifting around.
Yeah, and it's Thursday night game, too. So I'd expect him to have a solid game like he kind of always is. And as far as his recruitment is concerned, there's still kind of just the FCS schools, Wyoming's involved in there. FCS schools like, South Dakota State's and Northern Iowa's and those types. And then Wyoming's still kind of in the mix. They offered him. And he's going to wait, I think, to make a decision. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. And might even wait till after the season to do it.
Let's jump to 2021 here, mm-hmm. and your number one player there, guy that plays both sides as well, different position, Avante Dickerson, defensive back, running back for Westside, Warriors this week facing Bellevue East.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's going to play. I heard he might not play. He had a little bit of a hamstring thing, and I don't think they need him to play against Bellevue East, but they might hold him out just for kind of that. And it's not really worth it, honestly. But he's clearly, in my mind, the best football player in the 2021 class. Maybe not clearly, but he's the mm-hmm. best football player in the 2021 class. Whenever LSU and Ohio State come calling to offer you a scholarship as a sophomore and you're a defensive back or corner from Omaha, Nebraska, that means you're pretty special because they can go – LSU can go right down the street and find kids. So
they know what they're doing.
Yeah, so that's kind of he's not going to, I don't think, play this week, and they really don't need him to.
All right, and let's roll in your number two and your number five, both offensive linemen for Elkhorn South, Teddy Prohaska and Isaac Zadica. They are facing Elkhorn this week.
Yeah, you have, Teddy... I mean, obviously, this is a huge rivalry game the whole time. It's going to be packed stands and all that stuff. Elkhorn's moving to a spread offense, which will be interesting to see how that works. But I think Teddy and Isaac are going to have very good games. Both of them are fantastic. Isaac Zadiska is extremely good at center. He's probably going to rotate in a little bit on the defensive line. The one thing with Teddy, everyone expects him to be an offensive lineman or offensive tackle. Watch out for him as a defensive tackle. I went to their practice, and I was like, whoa. Like, he's pretty good at a three technique, being a defensive tackle. So he could and he could grow into, he's 6'9".
Yeah.
So he could grow into even a nose tackle in 3-4. So that's a different kind of deal there. Like, I mean,
there aren't going to be a lot of high schoolers that can block him.
Yeah, specifically if he get under him, that's a thing. Mm-hmm. But he's a very good run blocker defensively on the offensive line.
Yeah.
And defensive line, I mean, he was just killing dudes in the practice I went to. So that's kind of new development-ish, you will, in camp for them that I saw. I was like, this kid might even be recruited as a defensive lineman, and everyone just assumes he's going to be an offensive lineman.
Yeah. All right, number three, Keegan Johnson, wide receiver, defensive back from Bellevue West. Again, they're facing the Lynx, Lincoln High. He could get a longer look if Betts and Ducker don't play a lot.
Yeah, he's going to rotate in no matter what anyway on the offensive side and play safety kind of defensive back. So he's fine. He'll still play some. It's not like he probably won't be out there the whole time again also, but we'll see. I mean, you never know. As far as he's a kid that kind of skyrocketed because he's one, just you look at him, he's grown a lot, matured a lot, gained a lot of good weight, like has shoulders and stuff now that he never had.
He didn't have shoulders?
That well, I mean, like, problem. He like physically he's gotten a lot stronger. He's lifted weights and stuff. He looks a lot different than he did even, you know, a couple months ago. So
yeah.
That's important. As far as his...
He used the offseason to his benefit.
Right, no question. As far as his recruitment's concerned, South Dakota State offered. North Dakota State, K-State, Northwestern, Iowa State are schools that are interested or involved, kind of wanting to get involved and see more and all that. Probably likely take some visits there to some schools, Iowa State maybe in that in the next couple of weeks. So that's what he kind of has going on.
All right, and number four on your list, our last prospect. We already talked about the matchup, Creighton Prep versus Omaha North. We're talking about Junior J's tight end, A.J. Rollins. Mm-hmm. What is his matchup just in that game?
So tight end, he's going to – Will Manahart and him are going to split time at – Will's a senior and probably more of an inline blocker guy. They're going to split time kind of at tight end rotating in. Mm-hmm. He's going to play defensive end. To him and Will, both. So he'll play kind of both sides. And that's another kind of thing like, oh, man, his frame and all that kind of looks good out there with maybe playing defensive line or defensive end versus getting after the passer versus just playing offense. So he's a fluid athlete that runs well, hands catcher kind of guy, big, strong, physical player. As far as his recruitment goes, Nebraska offered, Iowa State offered. There's a bunch of other kind of the regional-ish schools, Northwestern and that are involved, and K-State's involved a little bit too. But so that's, I think a lot of those schools want to see more because you put the tape on, there isn't a whole lot. You look at the stats, there isn't a whole lot as far as catches in that last year. But he had good camps, and that's when, like, Nebraska offered him a scholarship was when he had a great team camp at their team camp and was kind of all over the field, and that's when they offered him, and that's a benefit to, you know, when your coach played in Nebraska and has a good connection there, that certainly helps.
Doesn't hurt. All right, that's all we got for this week. Be sure next week to vote for our Game of the Week.
Game of the Week, Sunday at 7, the Game of the Week goes out on Twitter and Facebook and all that, and voting for the Game of the Week. It'll be four games. I'll pick the four games based on kind of the matchups, and there's always going to be one sort of out-state game, meaning not Omaha or Lincoln, and then there'll be kind of Lincoln matchups, and then try and spread the wealth and love to some of the smaller communities and give them a chance to vote. And who knows, maybe I'll end up going out to that game and covering it.
Yeah, that's how you ended up in Scottsbluff last year.
No, we didn't do football last year for Game of Week. But I did just kind of go because I wanted to on that one. But I did, like, you know, basketball. I went to Humphrey Lindsay, Holy Family, BRLD once and stuff like that. So if the community rallies and gets enough votes and basically the whole school votes multiple times or however many times they can, then you never know what happens.
And I believe we'll also be bringing back the Player of the Week award.
Maybe we will, yeah. I guess that's something we're working on.
Finalizing, potentially. Yeah. If there's anything else you want us to talk about each week, let us know. Tweet at Sauter. He loves that.
Be sure to
follow him on Twitter at Mike Sauter OWH. Be sure you're following us at Any Prep Zone on Twitter and on Facebook. Be sure to check us out wherever you get your podcasts. Hit that subscribe button. And this is the time of year, folks. You're going to want to make sure you subscribe to Omaha.com. Check that out, Omaha.com/subscribe. Until next time, thanks for listening. Hit!